listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Nah, this ain't Jigga. It's your little nigga Bleak reporting to these motherfuckers live from the street. Game, I peep those. My mind's so advanced and nine, I used to geese holes for Easter clothes. Peep the steez. I represent for all those of 28 grams. On the come up trying to creep the keys. Large niggas told me park the car, keep the keys. Find a hood rat and creep the Mickey D's. First gun, two bullets. Niggas know I do pull it. Niggas trying to kill me, dog. Who wouldn't? Screw Gooden. I pitch in the PJs. Lit off of EJ. I split Dutchies with my ring finger. You find a bitch that owe me cream. Bringer last scene with Bean, he dropped between us. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Tuesday, Flash Tuesday.
Yep,
that's right. And it's time to podcast. And I'm gonna put my finger in your butthole, girl. Hey,
I was listening to that song. Like, what the hell is this?
Everybody been just quoting that shit on Twitter. I put my balls all over your face.
I know. I hope she consented to this. If not, we got problems.
Anyway, it's podcasting time. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up. And leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And you can also find us on all these other podcast apps. Podcatcher, Podcast Addict, RSS Radio,
Beyond Pod.
You know, find us there too.
And I'm glad people have got us back in their rotation because they have found us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, oh, thank God. And a lot of people are learning that RSS Radio and Beyond Pod, in particularly, I know that you can use the premium shows RSS feed. And a lot of people are happy now because now they were like, hey, it updates on my phone and shit now. So you can take us on the go.
Exactly. So make sure you guys continue to listen to us and find places where you can find us. You know, we appreciate you guys looking out for us. And like I said, leave us 5-star reviews. And we appreciate everybody that that's taking the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today is day 433 that Bobby Schmurder is locked up without bail. Still in jail. Bail still $2 million.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Free Bobby, man.
And I guess we can just get right into, all the news and stuff of the day because, as always, the news keeps happening, y'all.
It does. It don't stop, won't stop.
Yeah, you would like to think that sometimes the news will be like, nah, I'm not going to happen today. Let's take some time off to myself. But the news is always like, I'm going to keep going regardless. So I guess we can start with my new favorite news segment on the show, and that's Beyonce.
Hey,
y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessed as all I rock is rock necklaces. My dad in Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama.
My baby hair with baby hair and afro. Like my Negro, no projection by nostrils.
Hot sauce in my bag.
So yeah, that's new news and the Beyonce thing stuff. Of course, you know, Miami-Dade County coming out of Florida, you know, that Florida cops was like, we're gonna boycott the Beyonce, we're not gonna do no security.
Mm-hmm.
And then Minister Farrakhan stop bashing Beyonce long enough to say we'll send the fruit of Islam out there.
we'll take your money.
Another reason, some people were like, well, good. I'm glad to see him finally stop bashing the respectability in her and shit. Don't forget.
That ain't going to stop. He'll take your money, yeah, but that ain't going to stop.
Yeah, just because they got a common enemy doesn't necessarily mean that he supports her.
Right, don't mean the other shit going to stop. He just sees that she making white folks mad. He's like, I'm here for it. Pay us. We will come and make them mad.
He probably do it for free.
Yeah, for the publicity. Yes.
So apparently there's Javier Ortiz is the president of Miami's Fraternal Order of Police, and he,
I have a question. Yes, and you might not know this, but if it's a fraternal of police, are these retired officers or currently working officers or anybody?
I don't know.
I've always wondered that.
Well, I know you have police unions, and you have like Fraternal Order of Police,
right?
And it's always these talking head people that just talk shit,
right?
Know.
So I always thought the Fraternal Order is like retired dudes. Like, I don't know why I've always thought that. Because
a fraternal organization consisting of sworn law enforcement officers in the United States. It reports a membership of 325,000 members organized in 2,100 local chapters, organized in the local lodges, state lodges, and national grand lodge. So it's looks like it's current officers,
okay,
or at least sworn law officers. So okay. I don't know, maybe current and former.
Okay,
but there you go. So he is the head of Miami's police union, and he has filled his Facebook page over the last few years with pointed memes and posts, often racially charged. He defends officers under fire for killing unarmed black men from Ferguson, Missouri to Staten Island, New York, and repeatedly ripped minority groups, including top female black cop in his own city, for actions or statements that he brands as unpatriotic or reverse racism. Now his latest burn, one of the world's most famous female pop musicians, Beyonce, who also happens to be black. In a letter this week to police unions across the country, Ortiz said Miami's Fraternal Order of Police would boycott the kickoff of the Superstars worldwide tour at Marlins Park in April. He urged other unions to follow suit. The reason some cops, including Ortiz, view Beyonce's formation video as anti-police. In the past, Miami's police brass and city leaders have largely avoided clashing with Ortiz, saying he was legally protected by his union position and had a right to voice his opinion on his personal social media sites. This time, his bomb throwing may backfire. Mayor Tomas Regalado said he's worried Ortiz may be staining Miami's image, just as the city takes its latest step to ease a long history of racial tensions.
Come on now.
Next week, the city commission is poised to vote on a federal civil rights settlement over dozens of police shootings dating back a decade.
Hot damn.
So they're trying to, you know, repair the damage done and via racism at police officers.
They're like, you're not helping. They was like, do you not know this fucking city is full of brown people, dog?
It's enough of a problem that the city manager is exploring a legal path to try to shut Ortiz down or up, depending on your perspective. He's like a 7-year-old who has a temper tantrum, said Ella Moore, president of the Miami Community Police Benevolent Association, the city's largest black police organization. This is not helping at all, especially in today's climate. There are so many other issues he can take a stand on, like all the shootings in the North End, but he's busy worrying about what Beyonce is doing. On Friday, Moore drafted a letter imploring city leaders to do whatever is necessary to stop Ortiz's antics.
It was we ain't got time for this. We ain't trying to lose no money. It was like, people come here to party. People do not come here for this.
Right. And like, in addition to just, you know, obviously the money.
Right.
Obviously.
Because people would be like, you know what? That convention that we thought about partying with you, we going to ship that shit to somewhere else.
And the overtime.
Right. The money they're going to lose. These same officers be like, I'm not going there. But you know what? You might have other people that be like, hey, and they might not be black. They be like, hey, I ain't bringing my shit to Miami either, dog.
Yeah. You know, and it's weird because they said the same. And like, most of the time I feel like, excuse me, like these are just empty threats. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a lot of, you know, we're going to boycott Jay-Z and shit. And then, you know, of course they don't do that shit.
Right, the city ain't gonna let y'all cost them money.
Now, what I'm thinking is, Ella Moore sounds like a black woman. She's the head of the Benevolent Police, which is the biggest black police organization in the city.
Okay.
And she's a black woman.
Well, that name sounds.
And
black.
She's trying to shut him down.
Right.
She in that hive, Karen.
Yeah, she's like, we're not trying to hear this, dog.
See, where they fucking up is a lot of these black women out here are successful. They're the number one entrepreneurs. They're achieving levels
highly
of corporate
educated.
Success. They're the most educated.
They vote at a higher level than any other group.
Beyonce has strategically put people in place that could shut this whole country down if they wanted to. These people better stop messing with Beyonce.
Right.
You know, they barely getting by for other shit.
Come on now.
Fuck around. Valerie Jarrett be about to tear some shit down. Anyway, it says, she said, on Friday, Moore drafted a letter imploring city leaders to do whatever is necessary to stop Ortiz's antics.
Because it's not helping. It's not helping a motherfucking thing. We have a lawsuit going on, and you're cutting a fucking fool. You're not helping.
All of these things and others not mentioned here have common denominators in that they involve African Americans that he portrays in a negative light with thinly veiled racist overtones, she wrote. Miami City Manager Daniel Alfonso said the staff is working with the legal department to see what avenues can be taken to halt Ortiz's social media blast. The chief talked to him several times. He explained the speech he puts out is detrimental to us, but that hasn't gone anywhere. Ortiz, in an interview with Miami Herald, blamed his latest controversy on Beyonce, of course. Some police and other critics believe her Super Bowl performance, which concluded with more than a dozen leather-clad dancers holding their bald fist in the air, was a tribute to the Black Panther Party, a group formed in California in 1966 in response to repeated charges of police brutality against blacks. It's a shame that instead of her using her power to mend fences and build bridges, she's burned bridges, Ortiz said. There are plenty of cases in which black lives are taken, but if it's not law enforcement, it's almost acceptable, which is disgusting.
That's a false statement.
Right. In his four-paragraph boycott call, Ortiz also named fallen officer NYPD officer Richard Rainey, who died last week from bullet wounds inflicted by two Black Panthers in 1981, and saluted the dozens of law enforcement officers that have been assassinated by members of the Black Panthers. Okay. Ortiz also rejected Moore's charges that his post had racist overtones. If people come out in white robes and start celebrating the KKK, I'd be the first union president to say it's wrong. You wouldn't say shit.
Right.
I guarantee you look at his whole page, he don't have a word to say about white racism. I guarantee it.
Mm-mm.
The boycott Beyonce call is just the latest shot fired by Ortiz. Last year, he lambasted the city's top female black police officer, who was also a Muslim, for not covering her heart during the Pledge of Allegiance. On social media sites, he called the Black Lives Matter movement racist. He refers to Tamir Rice, the toy gun wielding 12-year-old child shot and killed by a Cleveland police officer, as a thug. And earlier this month, he went after a Hispanic woman who made national news after she chased down a Miami-Dade police officer she claimed was speeding. Ortiz thought she was out of line. Then he publicized her cell phone and work numbers and urged the public to contact her.
How is that legal?
Yep.
So. I would sue the fuck out of you for that.
Mm-hmm.
How can he do this?
Mm-hmm. So, there you go. In reality, the only effect of the union vote to possibly boycott Beyonce would be thinner paychecks for Miami cops, who will earn more than their hourly wage and are paid for off-duty work at the stadium by the Marlins under an agreement penned with the stadium when the stadium was built. Miami Police Major Delrish Moss, who is not a member of the union, said Ortiz's letter means nothing because the park will be patrolled even if the city has to find officers from other agencies. Not all of Ortiz's social media posts are negative or against blacks. He fought long and hard for a cancer charity for children. He was one of the first union presidents to condemn North Charleston, South Carolina police officer Michael Slager, charged last year with murdering Walter Scott after shooting him in the back as he was running away. He also came out in support of a museum in Miami for black cops. That's where they belong, in a museum. Put all the new ones in there, too.
Right. Pacify them all.
Regalado, though, acknowledged the union president's most recent rant is different from his past acts. City commissioners are expected to vote next week to settle the federal civil rights lawsuit over police shootings that have been hanging over Miami for years. You know, the other thing, too, is they say, well, this last one's different from his past acts. Yeah, it's because you didn't do shit about the first ones.
Right. So it got worse.
Yeah, that's how trolls work. They just keep going.
Right, and if they fuck around and be like, nah, we ain't gonna do them lawsuits, you already, it's like, he's not helping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the city council be like, nah, you know what, we ain't gonna do it. They be like, you got this racist motherfucker doing shit, and then y'all not doing shit. That's not gonna bode well for the community this affects.
Mm-hmm. Also, I saw this from Ajuma Baraka, who write, this is on allafrica.com, and the name of this one is Africa / Beyonce and the Politics of Cultural Dominance.
Oh Lord, do we need to play some hotel music?
He does appear to be a black man.
That title just sound very, 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 black soap, musk incense sounding. Where's your dasiki, sir?
So he writes, Beyonce and her dancers recently performed in pseudo panther gear, pretending that resistance to the state is a matter of fashionability. No real opposition to white supremacy is not cool or sexy. Being a black revolutionary means the possibility of death. It is facing the naked power of the national security state. I confess I am culturally alienated, old, disconnected 1960s and 1970s radical, trying to live and struggle for revolutionary change in a world that might have passed me by. Because I cannot for the life of me understand how Beyonce's commodified caricature of black opposition was in any way progressive.
Oh, is he saying this on Blog Talk Radio?
Shout out to Black Talk Radio. Instead, what I saw was the cultural power of neoliberal capitalism to co-opt opposition, monetize it, and provide some mindless entertainment all at the same time. I didn't see opposition. I saw the imagery and symbols of authentic black radicalism grotesquely transformed into a depoliticized spectacle by gyrating light-skinned Buddhist short-clad sisters.
Mm-hmm. I told you, man.
I'm told that I'm being too harsh. That there were positive messages encoded into Beyonce's performance. In their rebuke of my interpretation, my friends returned to that old canard that we get to meet the people where they are at and take every opportunity within the domain of popular culture to push positive messages. This sad and reactionary position only reflects the deep cynicism and alienation of black radical politics, and that has never recovered from the systematic assault of our movement from the 70s onward. An assault that was not only military, but as a centerpiece of its strategy, pushed for a cultural and ideological assimilation of the black African working class and the artificially created middle class. Understanding the power of ideas to shape consciousness, the objective was to Americanize the African American. Saner people would call that process genocide, but in the U.S., it's called racial progress. The success of that strategy and the elimination of the us and emerging people committed to a radical transformational politics with a healthy psychological and emotional distance from them, the U.S. state, its racist, colonialist, imperialist history was on display in Selma at the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the march. In Selma, Barack Obama, the living personification of that strategy, delivered a version of the American narrative that was infused with all of the racist jingoism of bold settlers and the marginalization of genocide and slavery. But instead of Obama, what does this have to do with Beyonce?
Nothing! But that's my point! I hate these fuck-ass think pieces! It ain't got shit to do with her!
I don't have hot sauce in my bag. Swag! But instead of Obama being
run, I got black soap. Wash your ass.
Fuck you. But instead of Obama being run off the stage and out of town, his rendering of the story of white manifest destiny, U.S. exceptionalism, and black advancement within the context of capitalism was warmly embraced and praised by the new Negroes of empire. In an era, you know this nigga does not watch the show Empire, mm-hmm, by the way. Mm-hmm. In an era where the image is dominant and meaning fluid, what is still real, concrete, and observable in this operation of power, situated and controlled by an elite that Bell Hooks refers to as the white male capitalist patriarchy? It's a power that exercises with devastating efficiency its ability to shape consciousness through its control of the major means of communicational and cultural production. It has those white men and their representatives that placed Beyonce on that stage at the Super Bowl. Oh, it was though. Okay. All right. Them white people put her on stage. Okay. It is incredibly naive to think that anything subversive or even remotely oppositional to the interests of capitalist oligarchy would be a loud expression on the stage that it controlled. So then why are all these people so mad?
Right now. Right. Why are they mad? I mean,
can you explain why the cops don't want to do her security anymore? If it's not, it's nothing subversive about it. That's weird. Just everybody figured it out, but you. Beyonce's performance in her video is as conservative and accommodationist as the demand for justice. for fill in the blank. After one of the defenders of the capitalist order executives, one of our folks, executes one of our folks. So he's saying her video is conservative and accommodationist, as when people say justice for Tamir Rice, because he says that's also empty. That don't mean anything when people say they want justice for these people. Everyone can give lip service to the demand for racial justice or oppose the bad apples in the police force that abuse their power, and most people, except for the rabid racists, can and do get behind the idea that black lives should matter. That is why the movement has not been shut down, at least not yet. Yes, that everybody can agree. We, you know, except for rabid racists. And everybody that says all lives matter, and all police officers, and everybody at Fox News, and a whole lot of liberal allies, and, you know, couldn't get Bernie to say it at first. I mean, you know, O'Malley wouldn't say it. I mean, hey, you know, other than that. let's see. No, folks, real opposition to this white supremacist, colonialist, imperialist order is not cool or sexy. Wait, did it scroll up? Or did he just repeat the same thing?
Repeat the same thing.
Oh, okay. Being a black revolutionary means the possibility of death. It can mean facing decades of incarceration as a political prisoner. It can mean exile or inability to make a living because of your liberal friends consider you dangerous. It is facing the naked power of the national security state with its power to engage in extrajudicial murder with impunity, surveillance, and infiltration. Those who claim that Asada taught them should have been outraged by the brazen commodified blackness being pushed by capitalist marketers. Did Asada say that we could never be free while the American government and the American capitalism remain intact? That is a call for total resistance that could be co-opted by the bourgeois culture. I wonder if this dude got any ads on his website. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do he eat? Like, who... You know what I'm saying? Where does his checks come from? Mm-hmm. He's like, all I do is use the white man's internet to get my message out.
Yes, I do it.
But that's it. I got a carrier pigeon to get this piece out. Time one ain't getting none. Check for me. In this period of media-driven pseudo-opposition in the form of Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Oh, shit!
Beyonce or even Bernie Sanders, it is increasingly difficult to make the distinction between image and reality, especially when the production of images and beyond and symbols is controlled by dominant forces with an interest in keeping us all stupid. It is only through ruthless criticism and commitment to struggling beyond the accepted paradigms that we can penetrate the BS and engage in a politics that is truly subversive. And that kind of politics will never be brought to you in living color in the safety of your homes while you stuff yourself with poison foods and spirits to dull the mind. Ajamu Baraka is a human rights activist, organizer, geopolitical analyst. Baraka is associate fellow for the Institute of Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., and editor, contributing columnist for the Black Agenda Report. His latest publication includes contributions to Killing Trayvon's An Anthology of American Violence, Counterpunch Books, Imagine Living in Socialist USA, HarperCollins 2014, and Claims No Easy Victories, The Legacy of Amilcar Cabral, Code Syria 2013. He can be reached at amujabaraka.com. Now I'm assuming he's giving those books away for free.
Who buying them?
I'm assuming he's trading them
on Amazon.
In good faith, just handing the books out to the community. Because, I mean, hopefully he's not trying to commercialize, commodify this blackness by selling them books, Darren.
They're on Amazon in the free bin.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a damn shame if I found out I had to buy these books about blackness. Because according to him, the revolutionary would never be done that way. So, his website shouldn't have, oh, God damn, it's $9.99 on Amazon. God damn it, brother! Well, you know what they say. Solidarity is for black women. You know what I'm saying? For black men. It's, sisters, y'all don't get to make no money off of this blackness now. Buy my book. You goddamn capitalist, buy my book, though. It'll be out in stores on the 15th. Number one time.
Come on now.
the white man's New York Times bestsellers.
But y'all spending these dollar bills with these white men on me. My book is $10. What the fuck is happening here?
The so-called Negro better have $10. Let you not have $10 to get that book. See what happened.
You get cussed out in Swahili.
Show up to his house talking about some, hey dog, let me put like five on it. See what happened.
You see how important the white man is? Well, he beat your ass.
See, that's what's wrong with our people today. We always trying to put something on it. Just like Beyonce, she want to do what? Put that ass on you. See what I'm saying? It's all connected, brother. Turn off the Super Bowl. Ain't nothing super or bowling about it.
And speaking of bowling, why you gonna go bowling? You know, bowling, and you take that ball and you knock down the white pins, dog, with the red necks. Like, what the fuck? Where are we going here? And you put on a white man's bowling shoes.
You stick your fingers in a black ball.
Right.
Roll it down the ramp. And the game is over when you knock down all the white pins with red necks. But what happens at the end of the game, brother? They put some more white pins in your way.
Yeah, they do. Because the white man never stops. He keeps refilling and refilling and refilling and refilling.
You can never win, brother. That's the game. As long as you play the game, you can't win. That's why when I go bowling, I throw my ball straight in the gutter. And I don't pay. I play for free for my people. Speaking of sad racism in politics.
Okay.
Somebody told this little black girl that President Obama would not get to be president forever.
Oh.
And she turned into me.
Hey, well.
Why are you crying? Tell me why you crying so you can tell everybody.
Barack Obama being a
I know. But he can only serve two terms. And his time is up.
No!
It's okay. We got to vote for another president.
I'm not ready.
Huh?
I'm not ready for a new one.
Oh. I'm not ready either, boo.
Did she admit that? How did she broke out in tears? She was like, what you mean?
Okay. You know, he has to be there only 8 years. It's okay. We can write him a letter. You want to write him a letter? Well, we'll write him a letter, okay?
Yeah.
Stop crying. Stop crying. It's okay, boo. Don't cry. All right, you want to call your dad or your mom?
I want to call my mom.
Huh?
I want to call my mama.
Your mama? Okay. Calm down so you can talk. Come on, I can't understand what you're saying. Okay, let's call your mom. See what she say.
And I can agree wholeheartedly. I feel like a lot of black people are that little baby inside.
Yes!
But Hillary or Bernie gonna be president. I don't want it. No.
I'm not ready.
You can vote for a new president.
Ready. Oh, no.
Kendrick Lamar, of course, had that brilliant performance at the Grammys. And now one of the people that works with him is revealing some of the messages inside this 2016 Grammys performance. I still don't think they really revealed everything, but because they didn't break down the lyrics, and the fact that that date was the same day that Trayvon Martin died, So anyway, but they said they broke down some of it, just the visual part of it, because it was his friend and stylist, Diane Garcia. So she knew all the, like, you know, the costume design, all that stuff. She said he was involved in the sense that he knew exactly what he wanted. He showed me a photo of prisoners and was like, this is my inspiration. There were these guys walking in the chain gang. He said, I want them to look like this. And I knew that he wanted African guys to glow in the dark because they were going to go into a sequence where everything was going to be dark and they were going to be lit with UV lights. The African theme portion of the performance featured body paint, was inspired by Maasai warriors. The Nilotic ethnic group inhabits Kenya and Tanzania. Another African culture served as a reference for the female dancers as well. You can't really see it on stage, but the girls, the dancers, they had red paint painted all over their bodies, and that was inspired specifically by the Himba tribe in North Namibia. They wear this red paint that's supposed to represent the color of earth and the blood. And we picked the Himba tribe basically because they are really strong women who do all the labor work while taking care of their own homes and all this stuff, while the men are out herding cattle and doing politics. As for the prisoner part of the set, Lamar and Garcia embedded layers of symbolism into the outfits worn by the dancers. TDE was written on the back of each performer in reflective 3M paint. In addition, the inmates' prison numbers represent Nat Turner's famous slave revolt, which took place August 21st through 23rd, 1831, in Southampton County, Virginia. Mm. Yep. I still wonder if he blacked his eye for Trayvon. You know, because he definitely had black eye makeup on, like he got a black eye. Let's see. In other rap news, apparently Fetty is in some trouble. His baby mama is planning to take him to the bank. One of his baby mamas, Love and Hip Hop's Masika.
Oh shit.
Maybe remember her from season one of LA. She plans to take a lot from him. Masika maintains her claim that Fetty Wap is definitely the father of her unborn child, and that he was the only one she was sexually involved with between late June and early July. Apparently, Fetty doesn't completely believe that he's the father, and there's only one way to find out. Masika has submitted court papers demanding Fetty take a paternity test. Ooh, she did it.
Honey, she is show, because you don't go out like that unless you like, yeah, we gonna see.
She is demanding child support and living expenses. She also plans to seek full custody of the child. She also claims she needs $17,000 a month total. And of that $17,000, $4,500 will go to rent. $820 will go to the housekeeper. And $2,000 for clothes. What is this number? What is those? Does that add up right? That doesn't add up right. Mm-mm. Anyway, I don't know what the rest is going to. The rest is going to go to condoms.
You're going somewhere.
Hopefully. Well... doesn't sound too good for old Mr. Wap there. Mm-mm. You know, I guess in the end of the day, he finally met his trap queen. $1,738. That's exactly how much child support she wants a month. $1,738. Let's see what other news. Oh. Ray J and Princess from Love and Hip Hop, speaking of Love and Hip Hop news, They went and got some relationship advice finally. You know, well, I'm like, good for them. You know, things are, you know, kind of bad for Ray J and Princess at times. And, you know, they really do need to have some intervention. So they went to talk to somebody that knows a lot about relationships and marriage. And it was Steve Harvey. They went to the Steve Harvey show. Because, you know, Steve will always give you the real, Karen. Mm-hmm. You know, and Ray J and Princess, you know, I think they moved in together, and she wants to get married, put the house in her name. So, I mean, things are getting pretty serious.
That's when you know it's real.
Mm-hmm. So you know it's getting serious when you put the house in her name.
Give me an example, Ray J. What some of the stuff you were doing?
We had an incident in New Orleans where... The police got involved, and we got into this argument, and it got loud, and, you know, glasses was being thrown in the room, and then all of a sudden the police show up, and somebody got to go. You know, somebody got to deal with what's going on in the situation, and it was very unfortunate that they took her, you know? But it all started with me telling her I'm about to bring you some soul food home and get caught up at the strip club, you know? That's what happened. And before then, it was just, you know, multiple times of me just not caring about our communication, staying out all night, and all she needed is that phone call to just be a FaceTime, baby, I'm in the studio with my friends, it's all good. But that no call leaves her going and going and going. And I mean, I was a cheater, you know? And so for
her. By the way, this is why Ray J is so good. One, he knows how and why he fucked up.
Yep.
And he makes you believe he wanted to do better. The thing is, he knows how and why. He knew how and why when he did it. He don't give a fuck.
No.
He going to not give a fuck as soon as this interview is over. But he can explain to you his actions in painstaking detail.
Because he know.
Right to your face. You know, he's like, and I know why you're mad. I know what I did wrong. You know, I know I'm cheating. I'm out here doing it. The other part of this is, I wonder if Mona Scott is pissed because she's like, why couldn't y'all do this with Dr. Jeff?
Right.
Like, Dr. Jeff is right here. Are they going to, like, is she going to have to borrow clips from this show to put on the next week, the next season of Love & Hip Hop?
You know, I guarantee LA? You, watch. They're going to have an update in their contract clauses. And this is going to be a part of it. Y'all can't be, for real, y'all probably can't be going on other people's shows.
I mean, it's good promotion for the show.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, I would understand why she would want them to be on this show. I just want to know if she's going to play clips from this. Because this could have been Dr. Jeff job, you know. I'm just wondering.
To even still be with me, to hang in there, to even stick with me through all of the turmoil and that's how I knew she was the one, because she didn't have to stay with me. She didn't have to deal with that, but she loved me. And she still loves me, and I started to see that, and I started to go, you know what? That's the only girl I ever felt like this for, and before I lose her, I'm going to step up and do what I'm supposed to do.
You know? According to TMZ, police arrested Princess Love for assaulting Ray J. They said she cracked his ribs, busted his lips, and tore his ACL. Okay, now, that was less than a year ago.
Yeah. Well, first off, she didn't crack my ribs. I mean, TMZ is accurate, and I got nothing but love for TMZ. They cool people. But some of the stuff got mixed in with everything that was going on in New Orleans. And it was sad that she, you know, that they took her to jail, because I didn't want that to happen. And if they would have took me to jail, then I probably wouldn't even be sitting here with you. Because after that, you know, it's hard to bounce back.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to bounce back. And even though we was just arguing.
Yeah.
You know, it just leads up to this and leads up to that. And, you know, whatever job or field you in, you know, you work hard to get to a certain point. And that one instant, everything is over.
Hey, folks, welcome. Thanks for
checking. Oh, no, that's enough, Steve. That's enough.
I don't care what Ray J said. She whooped his ass. And it's
you think that's what happened?
She whooped his ass.
See, I would not put it past Ray J and them to have been in a dispute where maybe even he was wrong. And since he was already on his, like, whatever probation, I wouldn't put it beyond Ray J to be like, no, you need to go to jail, because if I go to jail, I'll go to jail for real. I won't get out this time. I'm on probation.
And but the injuries is real, so what, he fucked himself up?
I don't know that those injuries are real. He just said that information wasn't right. And he definitely had no torn fucking ACL. The nigga was walking around just fine. He didn't heal for no ACL that fast in time to record the season. He would have been doing rehab on crutches or something.
That's professional injuries.
He's not no NFL player.
Right.
You hurt you tell your ACL, man, you are done for a while. You're going to at least have a limp. Like, I don't think that shit happened that way. And the way that she gets mad at him, and she was mad about the fact that she had to go to jail for him and said that a real man wouldn't do that, it makes me think that he did have her take the fall. You know? Like, whatever. Like, maybe she did put her hands on him or something, maybe it got physical both ways, but I wouldn't be shocked if the reason she's still pissed is because she's like, you owe me because I went to jail for your ass.
Right, and it wouldn't surprise me if he ended up marrying her.
Well, he might. There's a part, too. You know, I always had to bring the woman out.
Your arrest in New Orleans was a defining time in you all's relationship. What led up to that?
It was just a climax of everything that had happened. Like, the past 4 years, you know, the constant cheating, the lying, finding condoms in suitcases, you know, hashtagging his name when I can't find him, and it was Valentine's Day.
Oh.
So,
for you, what's been the worst thing that he's done?
I would say just, like, letting me go to jail. You know, not protecting me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just feel like, you know, as a man, you're supposed to protect your woman. And I just felt like he just didn't do that.
Sorry, baby.
So police come to a call, and you just felt like you took the fall for it.
Well, no, it was a lot. It was my fault, too. I overreacted. He never came back to the hotel room. He got another room. I called downstairs and tried to find out what room he was in. They said, we can't give you the room number, but we can tell you what floor he's on. You know, I went to the fifth floor and knocked on every door on that floor. Someone called the police. You know, I was throwing things. I was livid. I would not talk to the police because they were very rude to me. So they ended up taking me.
Hey, folks, welcome. Thanks for checking.
So no, I take that back. You're right. I just hearing her talk. Yeah, she took the blame for that.
Yeah, because it sounds like it's way more to what she's saying to me. Mm-hmm. And that's just, obviously, we don't know, but that's just a speculation on my part. I just feel like it's more than that, you know. Sounds like,
yeah, she took the bullying and she's upset that she had to.
Yeah, at least that's how it sounds to me, because while, I mean, if you did the shit, then it's really none of his fault other than him pissing you off, you know, unless you really were like, motherfucker, you're not gonna be, you know, like, I shouldn't be taking any of the blame for this shit. So, all right, let's see what other news we got. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
About to say, yeah, I'm surprised they talked to Steve Harvey. I'm surprised they ain't talked to Mario and Luigi, because, you know, he pushed her off and she went down the tube and went into the pool.
All right. Rihanna apparently has worked her way into another number one hit and has passed Michael Jackson for number one hits.
Work, 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 work. Number, number, work, work. Da, 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 work. That's all. That's, you know, that's my jam, but that's how I hit in my head.
Yeah, she finally realized nobody was really listening for her vocals.
I don't care. Just so work, girl, well, work it.
She might as well just make the words up, and it works.
For me, I am here, Rihanna. I am here.
And in the video, you know, she ain't got no bra on. You can see her titties and shit.
Oh, shit, I ain't seen the video.
Oh, my God. Shout out to Tidal, first of all, with the Tidal. They got both versions of the video.
What, clean and unclean? What's happening here?
Well, I mean, the first one is a bunch of, like, Jamaican people having, like, a dance hall type thing.
Oh, Drake in it?
Yep. Well, he, you know, he rap. She is killing this Jamaican, like, outfit with the mesh and the red, green, and black. And yellow. And, you know, as all Jamaicans dance, it's, you know, pretty much like sexual assault, but
to a beat,
to a rhythm. Yeah. And then you know, eventually we get to part two. I'll just show you some of that and then we can move on.
Nobody text me in a crisis. I believe all of your dreams are direction. You took my heart, all my keys, and my passion. You took my heart, I must leave a decoration. You mistaken my love, I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had, something that you never seen, something that you never been. But why you gotta act like nothing's wrong? Just get ready.
I don't know when Rihanna decided, just fuck it, titties for everybody, but I'm here for it and I appreciate it.
Me too, baby.
Like, she just like reached the final level, you know? Like, she just hit that. She just
hit the final four.
She just hit the switch. Like, she on PEDs or something.
Right. And she just keep getting thicker and thicker.
Right. Every year she just like, a little bit more grown woman weight. And check this out. Here's some titties. At any rate. So she got another number one hit on the Billboard. And it started kind of bad because she had a highly anticipated eighth album, Anti, which debuted a few weeks ago, but it was haphazard because it got leaked. Then it got posted on Tidal, where it was given away for absolutely free thanks to a deal with Samsung. The album eventually hit number one on the Billboard charts after its first full week out on the market, so things were momentarily looking sunnier. But then Rihanna canceled her Grammys performance last minute due to bronchitis and also postponed the first eight dates of her forthcoming anti-world tour due to nobody really knows. After that period of cloudy skies, though, things are looking up again. She turned 28 on Saturday, celebrating the characteristic Rihanna fashion. Now I need to click that link to see what she did.
Right.
Oh, by twerking her booty in a new video. That was a great way to celebrate. Let me just bookmark that for later.
Yeah.
And close. All right. Everybody want the link in the chat? Nope. And then today she dropped the video for the first single Work, which is a 2-for-1 deal, in which in the first video she and Drake dance provocatively in the dancehall club, and in the second her and Drake dance provocatively in a private room. And it's a fitting clip day for the clip to debut, as Billboard announced today the song reached number one on the Hot 100, making it the 14th song of Rihanna's to climb to the top.
Get it, girl.
This puts the superstar past Michael Jackson, leaving her only shy of the Beatles, Elvis Presley. Beatles have 20, Elvis Presley had 18, Mariah Carey has 18. So Mariah Carey has 18 number ones. Wow, that's amazing.
When she used to like really sing, like when she was younger, oh, she killed it for years.
Man, Rihanna like the Tiger Woods of this shit. She just needs seven more of the number one hits over the rest of her career to reach the top, which seems pretty possible.
Oh yeah, I am here for it, girl.
You are here for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Azalea Banks is not here for it.
What is Azalea Banks in the top 2 million?
Azalea Banks, this is Rihanna's Work video as like Beyonce, but not as fly as she slams pill-popping divas. Rapper Azalea Banks is taking a jab at Rihanna in another Twitter rant. In a since deleted tweet on Monday, the outspoken artist mocked the singer's new Work video as a pale imitation of Beyonce's 2009 Baby Boy video. Work video reminds me of the Baby Boy video with Sean Paul, except not as fly, she wrote on Monday. And the big beat artist went on to criticize pill popping divas who make minimal effort to put out good music. Rihanna's video features dancers twerking and shows the singer wearing a long mesh dress and getting close to Drake, who also appears on the track. Beyonce's 2009 video has a scene with where the pop star dances in the crowded club wearing an orange jumpsuit. So then they have some outtakes of both. Azalea then had some harsh words for the music industry in general. Me watching the mediocrity that is music in 2016, she wrote, sharing a photo of a woman looking bored while smoking. Oh, it's New York. New York smoking that cigarette. That's a meme. Everybody seeing with a hair rolled. Music is honestly so fucking trash and boring. Let's start a fucking beef and make shit interesting. All these fucking pill popping divas doing the least and getting.
She be so bored. She ain't got nothing to do because she ain't making music.
Doing the least and the shit is boring. Get these hoes a coffee and a pair of boxing gloves. Bring out the real artist. 5 exclamation points.
Okay. I know it ain't just me, but I don't know her for her music. I know her for this.
Everybody does.
Okay. It's like, well, then put out some music to quote unquote prove these bitches wrong then. Where your number one... excuse me, single.
Mm-hmm. So
you're talking about it, but they making money and touring. What is you doing, honey? Other than sitting down tweeting like me.
I don't know. I mean, what is she exactly required to do, you know?
I don't know. I don't know what she does.
Yeah.
Other than fight people on the plane and call them niggas and faggots.
Right. Yep. That's her thing.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure.
I don't know, man. I think she might just have some, like, people talk about Kanye's tweets. You know what I mean?
I think she needs some help down the low.
She might need to talk to somebody. Her shit, she is wild, man.
Right.
And getting in physical altercations with people and shit. Mm-hmm. Good luck, man. She just seemed like a troll. Like,
that's it.
Apparently the Netflix habits of you and your boo are more telling than we initially guessed. In the past, singles were able to gauge the seriousness of a relationship by the frequency in which a potential partner invited them over for Netflix and chill, read sex. But I mean, isn't that the case in every version of chill? I mean, if it's sex, the more you invite me over for sex, the more serious the relationship is probably assumed to be, even when it's not. Anyway, according to Refinery29, out of 1,008 of adults whose ages range from 18 to 29, 51% of them expressed that they believe sharing a Netflix password means that the relationship is serious.
Yes, it is, because I don't want to go in there my shit and I'll be like, well, let's go get the Jessica why am I on season 14 of Jessica Jones, and I just opened it up today. Yeah, I got to love you for that. That's why they made them separate, because Roger kept getting my bad black movies accused up in here.
But now we have separate separate profiles, not separate accounts.
Oh.
That's one account, but Netflix allows you up to like three profiles or something like that. So we both use my account. So you're using my Netflix password as well.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming single people, that's a big step. Like, now you get to create your own profile or possibly fuck up mine.
Yes, that, and just for the fact that I'm paying for this bitch, so yeah, you fuck it up, we're gonna have problems.
You're paying $7, though, come on.
But I'm paying for it.
I understand, I'm just saying, it ain't, you know, you spend that easy, you know, that's like a coffee at Starbucks. I think it's just more the ownership of that and then the trust of giving your password out. What was even more interesting was that 17% of participants responded that they would not be willing to share their passwords with a partner until they were engaged. I don't see no ring on these fingers.
Ain't that the truth?
Can I use your Netflix password? I'm just trying to watch some.
By your own. I log in myself. Get off my shrine, my shoulder. No.
You want half of this $7.99? You're going to have to come off a 2 months worth of paychecks.
Right.
And buy me a ring.
It's not a large bill, but it's a goddamn bill. So they like, fuck that.
Yeah. So, 25% of people find, people more attractive based on the shows they watch. 27% insist show compatibility is important. 58% have added shows and movies to their profile to attract a potential suitor. Wow. Wow. Oh, so you in the Daredevil? Okay, let's see if I get that. Oh, you like Narcos? Okay. Making it official, Netflix official, 51% believe sharing a Netflix password means the relationship is serious, and 17%, of course, won't share unless they're engaged. 65% engage in negotiations over picking shows. 35% trade show for show. Like, we could watch this show, then we watch your show. And 58% of people bond over Netflix. Who knew Netflix had such a, you know, had such a effect on people's relationships?
And I guess for me, it makes sense, because a lot of people actually watch more. I wonder if they do a statistic to show if people watch actually more hours, quote unquote. Because a lot of people, when they watch Netflix, they binge. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, do people watch more Netflix than they actually do actual television? I don't know if that makes sense, what I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and overall in totality or shows.
I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people cut their cable off, but then they have Netflix.
Right. And so that's why Netflix is very important, because they were like, look, I don't have a cable bill, but I do have this.
Yeah.
And I'll just say, it's almost like if you go over somebody's house and they don't, the minimal, I mean, you ain't got to have Amazon and all the other stuff, but if you ain't got the minimal Netflix,
mm-hmm.
People are like, I don't know if we need to be in a relationship. You mean tell me you too cheap to spend $7.99 for this?
Yeah, I mean, can't be mad at that.
Because that's how I feel when I go to my mama's house. Woman ain't even got the internet. I'm looking like, mama, what's happening here? Do I need to leave? Because I can't Netflix and chill, because you ain't got no Netflix and shit. You ain't got the
Right, I can't even and chill here.
Right, can't even eat, chill, nothing. Mm-mm. Then she be like, well, baby, why you gotta go? Mama, the game on. No, I got to go. Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, can't blame you there. All right, I guess we can get into some fucking with black people now. I feel like it's about that time.
It's about that time.
So let's do that.
You sure we ain't already been fucked with? Go ahead.
I mean, we have been.
Really. Okay, I want to be sure.
Might as well. That's the right song? Yeah, that's right. just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all love to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go and read articles from all over the world and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25, how much we feel fucked with. Today's contestants, a lot of different people. Let's just say everybody. Break it down. All right. Let's see. So, the cop who killed Akai Gurley, I believe that's how you pronounce it, or maybe it's a Key Gurley, was convicted and sentenced. Now he is an Asian cop, and you know, for the NYPD, and he is, I think his name's like Peter Lang or Liang. Mm-hmm. And there have been rallies from the Asian community for Peter Liang, where they're saying he's been scapegoated. It's one tragedy, but it's two victims, him and Akai Gurley, that there's selective justice, and that he's, and it's, essentially they're mad because he wasn't allotted white privilege. And didn't get away with murder.
Come on.
Now, I mean, technically, I believe it was considered manslaughter, and because you know, his of course, his reasoning, I didn't kill him on purpose. It was the dark hallway. He got scared. He shot him, but he also didn't give any like CPR, any life saving techniques. He also, or first aid. He also called his union rep for his, before calling, you know, calling in the fact that he shot this person. And a lot of the Asian community seems to be just pissed that he didn't get the same treatment that many white men who kill black suspects that are unarmed, or in this case, not even a suspect, just an innocent black man. He didn't get that same treatment. And yo, that's fucked up.
Yes, it is, because this is how I interpreted. I interpreted it like this: they're going, well, he's a scapegoat because he's not white. And a lot of them feel like, well, he wouldn't have went to jail if he wasn't white, which is fucked up because he committed a crime and he shot somebody and he broke the law, so he deserves to go to jail.
Yeah, well, they're like, he's a scapegoat because they didn't rally around him and protect him like the police do. And I'm not saying there's no racial element to why they chose not to protect him. I mean,
right.
But the justice was meted out. This is what happens when you recklessly take a life in the line of duty. It's kind of just what happens. And it's what should happen anyway. And their whole thing is like, well, why did it only happen to us? And I do agree. It is wild that it only happened to y'all. And it's probably something racist. But the argument shouldn't be, well, this guy should get out scot-free. Mm-mm. The argument should be, other motherfuckers need to go to jail for doing the same fucking thing.
Right. And it's also one of those things where I feel as though when it comes to being against white supremacy, a lot of groups are, they don't mind white supremacy as long as it benefits them. And be it true, false, or indifferent, in our society, a lot of Asian Americans are considered the quote unquote the model citizen,
the model minority.
Model minority. That's right. Model minority.
Like, you're even better than me in white, but when it comes down to it, you're still not white.
Right. And they're getting a taste of that. They're getting a taste of, nah, dog, nah, we're gonna treat you just like them. Because my question to these people: were you guys out in the street when black people were getting shot? Like, were you protesting then when an officer killed these people? But are you just mad because he's Asian? Because right. The thing about it is that a lot of people don't understand is when black people fight for Black Lives Matter, they're fighting for everybody. But it's one of those things where people don't have a tendency not to hear that. DeRay and all these other people, they're fighting when white people get killed, they fight when Asian, like, they're all across the board fighting for all of these people, but it's never reciprocated back. It's always, well, y'all on that black shit, so we don't really care, and we're not concerned about you until it's you. And it's one of those things where, and like you said, it's just really, really fucked up, because it's like, the reasoning they're mad is just fucked up. It's like, we should be like, look, other motherfuckers that kill people need to go to jail too, but it's like, nope, we're mad because he Asian and he went to jail.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. It's just, I don't know, man. It's wrong headed. It's the wrong way to go about the shit. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, it kind of reminds me of how, you know, black men will side in situations with a rapist if he's a black man, but then any other situation, then it's like, oh no, I get it, we all need solidarity for racial issues, unless this happens to be about me. And this feels like, you know, Asian people should be able to understand the idea behind Black Lives Matter and the idea about racial injustice and discrimination and shit. But then it's like, until it's an Asian dude pulling the trigger, then it's like, well, why didn't he get off too? It's like, that's not what justice would look like here. What justice would look like is y'all showing up and protesting whenever a white cop gets away. So how about from now on, you guys show up to the marches when another black person is inevitably killed by the police? How about you show up to those marches and you help us use some of your model minority, you know, influence to help us get these other cops convicted? Because all these cops should be going to jail. Not just
all of
not just this guy. It's not like black people are like, we just want this Peter Liang to go to jail and nobody else. Nah, we want any cop out here, you know, the people who choked out Eric Garner, we want them to go to jail. Where were y'all then?
Right.
You know, don't just try to show up on some racial shit to support a guy getting off for ending the person's life. That's right. Not okay.
No.
Thompson YMCA was forced to end one of their summer programs this year. It's been going for quite some time.
Where is this at?
Detroit, I believe.
Okay.
So yeah, basically the YMCA, known for helping young people become responsible citizens facing questions about whether the organization put innocent fifth graders through traumatic experiences of being a slave during one of its camp programs.
What's happening here?
At night during the camp, according to two African-American parents, their children were made to act as slaves on the auction block, while some teachers and camp instructors acted as slave masters, chasing them on real horseback.
Is this what the parents signed up for, or did I pay the $10 for the overnight stay, and this is some shit that y'all did on your own? Did I sign up for this?
The activity called Underground Railroad is dubbed by the YMCA as an educational experience, but for parent Tiffany Burchett, the slavery reenactment last year traumatized her 10-year-old daughter, Michaela Burchett. The mother's complaint reached the donors of the ACLU of Michigan this year, the doors of ACLU of Michigan this year, which wasted no time in forcing the YMCA to immediately halt the activity.
How long has this activity been happening?
Burchett recalled how in November 2015, she signed up her daughter, a student at Party Elementary School in Dearborn Heights, to attend the YMCA Storer Camps in Jackson. At the camp, children enjoy such activities as nature hikes, kayaking, canoeing, horseback riding, and sitting around campfires. Well, I guess all those things were probably done on the Underground Railroad. My daughter came home at the camp. She was very disturbed. She told me what happened. First, I was wondering if this was a ritual that they do to these kids every year they attend camp. She told me the camp instructors included some of their teachers, included some of their teachers dancing and happy before they went out to do this slavery enactment. Burchett said she sent an email to the school principal, William J. Murphy, December 11th, detailing her daughter's racially insensitive experience at the camp and that the children had since been displaying bouts of sadness. She said in her email that the slave masters, camp instructors, and teachers had certificates which allowed them to pay for slaves, and the students were required to hold up the certificates when they were bought or sold. Why would they make just the black kids do this? What lesson are they teaching everybody else? The email also...
So this wasn't for all the children?
According to what I read earlier, I think, didn't they say just two black kids?
Oh.
The email also noted, as the mother of an African-American son and daughter, I'm dismayed that the Party Elementary would authorize and condone such an extremely racially insensitive and damaging activity. Murphy, the principal, responded by underscoring the value of the Underground Railroad experience, stating, as of this response, not one student has expressed to us that they felt that way about the UGRR Underground Railroad activity. Now, why would that be your response? Well, nobody else said shit. Okay, well, maybe I'm the canary in the motherfucking coal mine. This doesn't seem healthy.
No, it doesn't.
You could have just taught the kids about it without putting the black kids on the slave auction block. Come on, man.
And the thing is, this sounds like this has been happening for a while. So these other children just went through this experience and went home and said nothing.
Maybe they're kids. How the fuck would they know?
That's true. They're children, right?
He also said, as part of being in character, students and staff are reminded not to look at any of the Underground Railroad characters in the eye while interacting with them. And at the time in history, it was considered disrespectful to do so. Murphy forwarded Birch's concerns to Nancy Berger, director of outdoor environmental education for the YMCA Story Camps, who responded to the principal denying Birch's claims. In the evaluations at the end of the week, 54 of the students said that it was their favorite evening program, which is impressive as it shows the students truly learn something from the experience. Berger told Murphy, then contacted by this writer and asked to explain the metrics of the evaluation and the racial makeup of the students, she declined to speak on the matter. Yeah, you were so proud of it, but you don't want to talk about it. During an interview with Burchett, another parent, Regina Crutchfield, came forward to say her daughter, Brooklyn Jones, a fifth grader at Jane Addams Elementary in Redford, had gone through a similar experience in November at the Y Store camp. My daughter said she was scared. One of the guys, camp instructors, reenacted killing a deputy. They could not do that in front of a 10-year-old. Yeah, they should not do that in front of a 10-year-old. And not when kids are hundreds of miles away from home. If they want to teach black history, they should do that in the classroom. Right. Right, they probably don't even teach this shit in the class. They just take you outside and be like, let's teach some black history. I get to be massa. Mark French, a staff attorney at the Michigan ACLU Racial Justice Project, wrote a letter on February 4th to Kevin Washington, president and CEO of the YMCA USA, demanding to halt the program. Washington is an African-American. Not only is the Underground Railroad activity emotionally and intellectually harmful, it also creates a racially hostile environment that has legal implications both for the camp in its role as an educational institution or agent of educational institution, and for the schools that send their students to the camp facility. Yeah, because teachers are playing a role of racist masters.
Right, and children see this.
Something could happen. I mean, it's even just as an exercise, if you just took out the... if it's offensive or not, somebody gonna finally fuck up and take it too far. They gonna hit a kid, they gonna cuff them, they gonna say something, be like, no, it's okay, that's what masters would have said in the 1800s, and next thing you know, you getting sued. The same day the ACLU letter was dispatched, Brad Toff, the president of the YMCA of Greater Toledo, which operates the YMCA store camps, called Fancher to tell him that they're ending the Underground Railroad project. Yeah, just had to go up the chain of command until somebody with some fucking common sense and something to lose said, oh, wait a minute, this is stupid.
Right. Why didn't y'all tell me about this? I guarantee you, it wouldn't surprise me if some counselors lost their jobs.
The program,
who thought over this idea? Why did it come up, and why wasn't it brought to my attention for approval?
The program had been in effect for 20 years.
God damn!
So, they definitely had already been up the chain of command. Just nobody ever called them out on it. It's held several times during the year. About 40 school districts, public and private, have participated in the camps. While denying a request for an interview, Thomas said the program was discontinued when we were recently informed of a child who felt unsafe during the experience. Well, Fancher said during the praise the decision to end the program, we applaud the YMCA's mature and responsible decision to terminate the Underground Railroad activity. The activity presented a risk of trauma for children who identify with their enslaved ancestors. We encourage further efforts to educate children about slavery, but without reenactments and in consultation with experts.
So y'all not going to teach them anything.
Why did you say that? Why did you say they're not going to teach them anything? I just want to know.
I might be wrong, but it's going to be more of, because they're scrapping the program. So I want to know, what are you going to put in the place of this program since you're quote unquote not doing that? So I think if they're going to scrap the program, in my opinion, you go, well, since we can't do this, you know how people go to the extreme. We're just not going to teach them about this at all.
Oh yeah, well you might be right. Yeah, like, maybe like, they will
like,
do
like
that.
That's my thing, because you know, because you don't take the time to teach them this shit in the classroom. So what make me think that you're gonna take the time? I'm not trying to be funny to teach them this in this environment. This is a stupid ass way to teach them. You should be teaching them this in all settings where they're not, the children are not intimidated. And see, this is why I don't have children, because you ship my child hundreds of miles away, and I find out you're doing this bullshit. Yes, somebody's gonna have to answer.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. 100 for both of those stories.
Yes.
All right. It's time to do some guest stories. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants to guess the race, and the chat room plays along, and the chat room is racist. All right. West Palm Beach, Florida. A Florida teen was arrested on suspicion of practicing medicine without a license after he allegedly performed a physical exam on an undercover agent on Tuesday.
What kind of physical exam?
Probably something involving the vagina or the butt or the boobs, if he's like any other Florida teen. Like,
developing right now, an 18-year-old under arrest accused of posing as a doctor.
Detectives say he was running a medical office and didn't even have a license to practice. Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office arrested 18-year-old Malachi Love Robinson. They say he opened a medical office on North Congress Avenue in West Palm Beach. On Love Robinson's Facebook page, his occupation is listed as owner physician at New Birth Life Holistic and Alternative Medical Center. Today, during an undercover sting, detectives say he performed a physical exam on an undercover agent and offered medical advice. Love Robinson was also investigated and cited by the Department of Health for practicing medicine without a license last October.
Holy shit!
Mm-hmm. Because that is a reasonable thing to do as a teen when you're from Florida. You got to get up in there and...
They don't have no laws. Don't nobody verify and check this shit. Don't you gotta get your give your doctor's number or some shit? That's just you paid the money. Here's your paperwork.
He's also facing a civil suit for writing a bad check to a car dealer.
Holy shit! This 18.
17 when he wrote this bad check. He was grifting like a motherfucker.
Yes, he was.
Like a
professional con artist.
Greco Mazda says in the civil lawsuit that back in June, Love Robinson bought a new 2016 Mazda 6 like this one. It cost $27,000, and Love Robinson wrote a down payment check of $1,800. But Greco says the check bounced, and after a few days of Love Robinson attempting to come up with the money, the dealer filed a lawsuit and took the car back. Love Robinson finally responded to the lawsuit in August, writing this letter, in which he says it was a mistake with the bank closing his account. He writes he understands the dealer's position because people do often con them, but this was not the case. Love Robinson also writes that he wants to work out an agreement, that $7,200 is a lot to ask for on behalf of a mistake that was made by a young man. That $7,200 is the amount of damages the dealership says it's due. As far as this non-military affidavit, I spoke to the dealer's HR director, who says she doesn't know, but it might reference that Love Robinson was attempting to get an active military discount on the car, typically $500 off the price. And as the affidavit shows, the then 17-year-old was not in the military.
That's the best shit ever.
Oh my God, what is wrong with him?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he has a website and everything. Just, oh my God, this picture. That bitch in a vest. Who will let this person touch their vagina?
Right.
Dr. Malachi A. Love Robinson is a well-rounded professional that treats and cares for patients using a system of practice that bases treatment of physiological functions and abnormal conditions on the natural laws governing the human body. Dr. Love Robinson utilizes physiological, psychological, and mechanical methods such as air, water, light, heat, earth, phototherapy, food, and herb strap therapy, psychotherapy, electrotherapy. Who gonna let this motherfucker attach some electrodes to them? Physiotherapy, mechanotherapy, naturopathic corrections and manipulation and natural methods and modalities together with natural medicines, natural processed foods and herbs and nature's remedies. Wow, and he's really on here with real doctors.
Oh, that's right, because you normally go into practices with other doctors.
This is a New Birth, New Life Medical Center and Urgent Care LLC.
Holy shit. I know.
Why hasn't he been taken off this site yet?
And I know he's about to get sued by all those patients. Because I guarantee you he got patients.
Yeah. Dr. Strange Love. Let Dr. Love put his hands on that vagina girl.
Has he been writing prescriptions too?
How would he? It sounded like all his shit, he was trying to be like, I'm a nature holistic person, because he probably can't write a prescription. Probably didn't have any authority to do that shit.
How long he been running his practice?
Don't you gotta be in school like 12 years to be a doctor? How
you gotta be in school forever.
Motherfucker think he Doogie Howser MD and shit?
And he was the youngest one ever.
Right. And then with his haircut, he got a mohawk. Like, the fuck is letting somebody with a mohawk touch their genitals?
Come on, dog.
That Florida teen arrested for
impersonating a doctor. The 18-year-old who calls himself Dr. Love is out on bail now, and he went one-on-one with ABC's Matt Gutman, who joins us now. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, George. Malachi Love Robinson is a precocious 18-year-old who just opened a medical clinic with his name on the door, but he's still very much a youngster who showed up at the interview with his grandfather. Now, he told me he finished being homeschooled at 15, has a passion for helping people. He may soon also have a police record.
Malachi Love Robinson, the teen, marched out of his Florida clinic in handcuffs.
Malachi, they say you've been practicing medicine without a license.
Sitting down with ABC News overnight, released from jail early Wednesday morning on a $21,000 bail after being busted in a sting operation in West Palm Beach, caught allegedly giving a medical exam to an undercover officer.
Were you a doctor of
anything? He actually had an actual facility, like a practice.
Right, because he had two other doctors, and if I was one of them other doctors, I would sue him, because now we have to find a fucking replacement.
Sue him for what? For what money? His lunch money? He's 17. How did he even get in this position? Can't even afford a car. He's a grifter. What money are you going to get? You going to line up behind a dealership?
What? How was he able to get this space with him? Was he was like, I pay you Tuesday with burgers? Fuck, how was he able to get the position? He had to have money,
anything at all.
I do currently hold a PhD in what I don't feel comfortable disclosing because that is not the issue.
PhD in player hater degree.
I made my degree up on PowerPoint. It's actually really, really good.
I do have a PhD. It's called Pretty Hard Dick, and I don't want to disclose exactly how hard the dick is.
Here. But you treat people at your office now is accusations.
The 18-year-old indeed facing serious accusations from police. 7, including grand theft and allegedly practicing medicine without a license. And last month, he proudly showed off his medical center to our ABC affiliate, WPBF.
Last month.
New Birth and Life Medical Center.
But peel back the tape, and the sign on the door has his name and these two crucial letters. M.D.
That sign on the door was actually due to be changed. There are many types of degrees out there that hold the title as doctor, whether they are a physicist or an engineer. Just because someone has the title doctor in front of their name does not necessarily imply M.D.
Have you had training?
What other kind of doctors is it?
Dr. David Manning. Have you ever thought about that? Reverend Dr. Manning. And then also,
did you go to a non-accredited university too?
Right, exactly. And also it says MD, but he put white tape over MD. But it obviously used to say that. When did he put that white tape over there?
He realized folks was investigating. Somebody asked.
I have shadowed many doctors.
You're saying your training comprises shadowing other doctors, real doctors. That's your training in medicine.
Your training comprises of a lot of things.
But you weren't in med school.
Exactly. So I am not portraying as an MD. I've never said that I've gone to school to be a MD.
But the teen who goes by Dr. Love does advertise an array of treatments on his medical center website, including phototherapy, food and air therapy, and naturopathy.
I have been studying this particular field for a while. May not have been 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, but it has been long enough to, I would say, justify...
Bitch, what?
What I do.
Including, apparently, treating the elderly. In a criminal complaint, an 86-year-old woman said he recently treated her for severe stomach pain, paying him nearly $3,500.
What services did you provide in exchange for that money?
I can tell you this. Accusations are merely accusations, and services, you'd have to define that. Whether she paid for me to just show up, that's up to her.
You're not denying the fact that she paid you $3,500 or so, correct?
No, I am denying that.
Are you a fraud? Because it seems like everything you're saying to me is either evasive or an outright lie.
I don't appreciate your tone. I don't appreciate the way you're portraying this interview to actually be.
And then a moment we didn't expect.
Are you in big trouble? I mean, it seems like you've spoken to a lawyer who's prepared you to talk not only to the media, but the police as well.
I don't know where you're receiving this information from, but it is inaccurate. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut this interview short.
And, in fact, he did, walking out the door.
Now, we have a standing offer to Malachi to finish that interview. The teen has not yet been arraigned, but insisted throughout the interview he has done nothing wrong. He has also said that when all this clears up, he intends to open another clinic. Amy, George.
Matt, we always appreciate your time.
They couldn't even keep a straight face. They were like,
People spent years and get thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in fucking debt to be doctors. What the fuck?
Well, guess the race chat room. Did you already ask?
Yes. Right. And of course, somebody pay him, because I was like, there's no way you could afford to do the shit you're doing without somebody paying you.
Greggy says, Nip tuck me that pussy white. Yeah. Aww. My question is, did he sexually assault anybody? Because if you're not a doctor and you looking at somebody's chocha, or you making me turn my head and cough, I want some motherfucking justice, motherfucker.
I'm saying the patient's gonna sue him.
Right. You can't tell nothing wrong with my balls or not. Now I gotta go back to another doctor.
Right.
Probably don't take no insurance. Cash only, please. Why does he talk like that? Arrested and she'd black sued. Oh, arrested and sued black. Bouncing a check and breaking the neck to get a job. My man is black in the Tyler Perry movie. Duga Hauser, C-O-G-I-C. Kojic. So he wasn't writing prescriptions. Let's see. Any more race guesses?
I think the very last one.
Oh, Doogie Tyrone Hauser, black history. I distract a strong sense of privilege in this one. So yeah, the correct answer is actually black. So. And some people got it wrong. I bet he wasn't using medical terms or anything.
Mm-mm, what the fuck somebody said.
Now, if you don't mind, can you pull out your titty balls?
Pledging mammograms.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant titties. All right. Now, I'm just going to have you turn around and twerk something for me. Thank you.
No. Yeah, somebody said a breast exam, right? So he was basically feeling on women's titties.
Right. Let me, you say your stomach is hurt? Okay, I'm going to need you to bend over and let me put two fingers up your butt. What they got to do with my stomach, baby?
Right.
let's go to the bonus round. I don't know where we at. Bonus round music. Right. Here we go. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Bonus round to guess the race. Double the points, double the race. So far, most people are, well, all over the place. And we'll see how they finish up. Now it's the bonus round. They should be nervous. A San Jose serial flasher has been nabbed.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. He was out here flashing his cereal to anybody who wanted to see it.
Ha, ha, ha. His cereal with all the nuts in it.
Suspected cereal flasher accused of trolling high schools in the San Jose area, exposing himself to at least 14 young girls in 1 month, ooh, was arrested this week.
He took a few days off, apparently.
John Ha, 37, was taken into custody when cops tracked him down at his job in Milpitas. A spokesman for the San Jose Police Department said Ha was charged with 32 counts of lewd acts and indecent exposure. He also was booked on suspicion of annoying and molesting a child, although police don't believe he ever made physical contact with the victims. Police began getting reports in early January of a man in a gray Honda Accord who was parked outside of high schools, exposing and filing himself in front of girls ranging from age 14 to 17 years old. He would wait for juvenile females walking along to school in the morning. The suspect would make eye contact with the female victims while masturbating and exposing himself. Morales said 14 separate incidents were reported in January near several San Jose schools along Foothill, Overfell, and Independence High Schools. He said Ha lives in the area of the schools, and detectives with the Department's Sexual Assault Investigation Units linked him to the incidents after an extensive investigation. Ha has been held at the Santa Clara County Jail. Guess the race of Mr. John Ha. See what they believe his race to be. One of his high like juvenile.
Apparently so.
Jay says an Asian showing his egg roll. Okay. Asian won't be laughing for long, says Joe Spacely. He dropped his pants to reveal pixels. That's pretty good. Aww. Anyway, the correct answer is Asian. Take that, model minorities. You come for us, we come for you.
Ah, somebody said fry rye ran in 10 minutes. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to, of course, my least favorite segment, but we have to do it because justice continues to call for us.
Apparently so.
Sword ratchetness. Look at my penis. let's see. Here's a video of a teen who had a samurai sword in the park, and he was scaring parents and kids. Why this video? Okay.
Hey, can I ask you where you got your samurai sword from? Or?
That was the weirdest video ever. What did that have to do with anything?
I have no idea.
And why was the editing adding music in? Anyway, a teenager armed with a samurai sword. See, this is the problem. Y'all don't take the shit serious. You think it's a motherfucking joke. And you edit the video like, oh, let's put some samurai sounds in there. Isn't it funny? It's like, nah, it's not actually funny. He was scaring parents and their fucking kids at the park with a sword. What if he would have stabbed somebody?
Right, or cut them.
A teenager armed with a samurai sword frightened a group of moms and kids by wielding the samurai sword weapon above his head in a children's park. He was criticized by a Gladstone magistrate that he should have known better than to do this, causing fear in the time of terrorism when people did not know if he was a little bit crazy or only mucking about. Well, listen, The answer is both. One horrified mother drove up to the Gladstone police station to get officers, but when word officers rushed down to the skate park that Saturday afternoon, the armed man and his mate were already gone. Police prosecutor Gavin Reese told Gladstone Magistrates Court that police received reports about an armed man, including the mother, worried about the safety of children in the park. Police later identified 17-year-old Charles Wagner, guess the race, white, as a swordsman at the people on the skate park. At the skate park showed photos they took of him with a Japanese katana samurai sword. Mr. Reese said Wagner was seen to take the sword from a case in the park, and the photos show him holding it above his head. Wagner pleaded guilty before the magistrate Penelope Hay to carry a weapon in a public space at 3 p.m. on January 23rd. Defense lawyer John Pepito said Wagner wasn't really thinking, but realized afterwards that he was in the wrong. I wasn't thinking with a sword raised above my head and little kids. Why is that acceptable? Why is he in jail? He realizes the danger he was exposing people to and why people reacted in that manner. He was just trying to show it off. He accepts it could injure someone. He was lost the sword. It was forfeited to the crown. Miss Hay told the teenager it was a particularly stupid thing to do in a public place. It caused fear to people, including children, particularly in our current climate with terrorism and people using weapons. Miss Hay and Wagner said Wagner was young, but common sense should have made him realize it was a bad idea. You cannot carry weapons around or brandish them in such a way, she said. She told him that he would be concerned if he saw an armed man in the park. And he said, yes, a little bit. Replied Wagner, a little bit. I'd give him fucking jail just for saying that, smart ass.
Come on now.
You just don't know if they are only mucking about or a little bit crazy, Miss Hay said. Wagner was fined $300. That's it. Well, hopefully next time he'll stab up some kids and then everybody will take it serious.
Right.
Oh, well, then there will be a next time with a motherfucker like this.
Of course.
All right, man. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be doing our Walking Dead Wednesday, so we'll be wrapping up the Walking Dead. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah.